burden that we have on our heart this morning is the true honor of motherhood, and as was already mentioned, it's God's work. We live in a world that, to a large extent, has been devaluing motherhood. And I would, by the help of the Holy Spirit and the Scripture this morning, that we leave with a renewed or greater appreciation for motherhood. True honor is not what culture assigns. It's what God gives. And it's more than sentiment, but it is restoring the honor of mothers and the place that they fill to its rightful place. In the modern world, they value money, career advancement, recognition, independence, recognition, self-fulfillment. Isn't that what we hear in the world today for women? God values, on the other hand, faithfulness, sacrifice, love, service, and training souls. I appreciated Sister Tammy's comment this morning that I appreciate the privilege of being a mother. And that is true because there is value in motherhood. And I also want to acknowledge the single women and those that do not have children, those that have lost children to death, that there are things in life that are outside of our control. So the message this morning is not addressing that, and so I want us to keep that balance, because my heart goes out when, especially in other countries, we have prayed for numerous mothers that did not have children. They were barren in Pakistan and in Africa. And I would also report that God gave many of them children after prayer. But there are some that even in other countries, it is valued to the extent that even as in Bible times, it was almost looked down upon. And it's not always because of the woman, but she has borne the burden of that in society. And so those that have lost children, there are those that have adopted children, those that have had children in their lives, that they have been mothers, and those that have been mothers in Israel, sisters in Israel, those of you that love God and are serving the Lord and are there to encourage and strengthen the rest of us, we appreciate you all this morning. And I want all of you sisters to know that we love you. We are benefited because of the sacrifices that you make in our homes and in the congregation and in the church at large. So may God bless you all. I don't ever want the sentiment of the world to cause you to feel, you sisters, to feel like you're not as valuable or as important or as capable or as intelligent. The Church of God has some of the best women in the whole world. And I just want you to know that you are of great value this morning. In the book of Genesis, in the first chapter, in the 27th verse, very familiar passage, says, God created man in his image. And in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, anybody remember what God said to Adam and Eve? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. So understand that before sin entered the world, before there were governments, we find one of the first kingdoms was founded by Nimrod in Genesis. Before all of that took place, before there were schools, before there was any such thing as politics, God established marriage. He established that he gave the children and he gave the institution of the home. And those are the very things that our world today is devaluing. And in the beginning, God said, he gave Adam and Eve, and then he said, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. So one of the purposes of marriage is companionship and love and faithfulness. And then he said, go be fruitful and multiply. That was not meant to be a burden. That was meant to be a blessing, folks. to replenish the earth, to have children in the home. Our world is looking at having children today. It's almost despised by many people. It's almost looked down upon. And a culture that despises children is losing sight of the honor that God placed on motherhood and on the home. And I would that it be elevated to its proper place this morning, because the world is looking down on it. The scripture gave a general design for the family. And there are difficulties in homes and societies that we're not always able maybe to fulfill it to its perfection. There are a lot of single moms and single dads. And I trust that God would pour out a rich blessing on them because they're doing double duty. But the ultimate picture and the design of God was for a husband and a wife and their children. And that was the institution of the home. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, lo, children are what? They're a heritage. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is His reward. And arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. So are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. So notice here that God is calling, through the prophet, through his writers, God is calling children a heritage. He didn't say, well, they're just an inconvenience. Are children always a convenience? 3 o'clock in the morning, cleaning up the messes when they're sick. It's a little difficult at 2 in the morning to say, this is such a blessing. But see, it's because of maybe some of the residual job that comes with it. But children are a blessing of the Lord. Children are given by God. And we live in a society that is so self-focused, they're seeing children as an inconvenience. This is an inconvenience because I can't fulfill my destiny. There is no greater destiny this morning. In marriage, within marriage, if that is how God has ordained your life, within marriage, there is no greater blessing than children. That's what the Bible says. And we live in a society that is devaluing those principles. And so then the world calls children not only inconvenient, but expensive. And I didn't look up to see how much it costs to raise a child. But you know, it is expensive. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of blessings that come from children. And they call it career interruption, especially for the mothers. Career interruption. It will interrupt your trajectory in your career. Are we looking at what the world values this morning, or do we want what God values? God values children, and I would that the church, His people, value it as well. The world says that if you have children, it's a loss of freedom. You're just tied down. I would that there be more women in our world that be tied down. You understand what I'm saying? That they be fulfilling God's purpose for their life. And there is nothing I want to say, and I want everyone to understand, there's a balance in what I'm bringing out this morning. There's a balance. If someone is not in the place to have children, I say it's better not to have them until you have the right godly perspective of having children. And so I wouldn't go to a couple and say, well, you need to have children. That's really, frankly, not my business. It's not yours either. If a couple is not in the place before God to raise a family, I would that they wait until they get in that place. But I also recognize that one of the things that our world is promoting, so understand this different world, we're pushing against a tide of the world. That the world is really looking at children as I keep using the word inconvenience, but it will interrupt my life. There's a word for that, and it's called selfishness. And it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman or married or single, our world is being driven by self-focus. It's my career, it's my money, it's my future, it's what feels good to me without giving consideration that I have something that I can offer to someone else. There's something that I have I can give to the Lord, I can give to my wife, I can give to my children, I can give to society, and yet the world is devaluing a life of service. And there is no greater service than parenthood this morning. And that is, as was said before this message, that is the work of God. It is part of the work of God. And so children are souls. Children need love. They need correction. They need guidance. They need discipline. But they're souls. And when God has placed a soul in your hand, you have the greatest job in the world. So are we willing this morning to accept the mindset of the world that says put career before family, put career before your marriage, put your job before your children, and you know, they'll make it. Are we going to adopt that stand in the church? Or are we going to allow what the Bible teaches us, that God's way is that children are a heritage? Your marriage is more important than your jobs. That's to all of us this morning. Men and women alike, your marriage is more important than your job. So put your marriage first. Your children are more important than, well, maybe it's going to, I won't be able to advance as much in my career. You have souls in your hands this morning that you're shaping and molding by your life and by example. Are you willing to farm out this morning? Are we willing to farm the most important job that God has given us? Are we willing to pay someone else to do that job for us? So Lord, help us. I know there are situations, like I said, that someone has to go to work. And sometimes it's incumbent upon them, not by choice, but by compulsion, that they have to go to work and pay someone to watch their children possibly. But if at all possible, I want us to understand what the Bible teaches on that subject this morning. That we have value, there's value in carrying this most important job in the whole world. In Titus chapter 2, and many of these scriptures we're familiar with, but I want to stir up our minds by the word this morning. In Titus chapter 2 verse 3, it said, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness." Does anybody want that job? Aged women, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. And it goes on to say, teachers of good things, that they may teach. Now that does not mean that I can't be here this morning and share this teaching with you, but I cannot teach the younger women by my example. That's going to have to come by the elder women. That's going to come by those that are living that life in that calling. And so he said, teach the younger women to love their husbands. Is that popular in our world today? I want us to get a contrast between what the world values and what the Bible values, what God values this morning. That a woman, a wife, loves her husband. To the elderly, teach the younger women that, not just by word, but by example. That they can look on your life and say, wow, she really loves her husband. It's not the wife or the mother that her husband is not there and she's talking about him behind his back. I know that in our wedding vows, we made a vow to each other to protect their reputation as we do our own. And that means that strong marriages are built on a strong foundation. And one of those is, I'm going to protect my wife's reputation. You're not going to find me when it's just the guys together. At breakfast this morning, some of the guys, we were back there. You didn't find us running our wives down. That's not a good foundation. Because does my wife have any, maybe I need to turn that around. Do I have any weaknesses? Don't ask her. Don't look at her. Do I have any weaknesses? But yes, of course I do. But a wife that wants to do it God's way is not going to be running me down. She's going to be there to love me and support me, that others can look on and say, that is how to love your husband. When everyone else is looking on, say, what in the world is he doing? There's a strong woman beside that man that is loving him and carrying him and standing beside him. Amen. The world doesn't value that anymore, but aged women teach the young women to love their husbands. And that's not all it said here. It said to love their children, to be discreet and chaste, pure, keepers at home, and good. And you say, you better stop right there, Pastor. He went on to say, and obedient to their husbands. In other words, honoring the authority that God has placed in the structure of the home. For any organization to operate well or properly, there's going to have to be a place where the buck stops. There's going to have to be some leadership and guidance. And so that is where in any organization, when you have a good leader, it's not someone that says, I'm the king, do it because I said. That's not a good leader. A good leader is one that sets the tone, sets the example that others can follow that. And that is what a husband's role is called to be. It's a good leader by example and by love and sacrifice and giving himself for his wife. And yet there's a place for a wife to acknowledge that in the home, the Lord has placed my husband as the head. Where you find that out of balance, see, the world is not promoting this and teaching this today. Where you find that out of balance, you're not going to find a happier home. It's not that a woman is less capable or less intelligent. Do we understand that this morning? Sometimes the wife is much more intelligent and capable than her husband. But there's still a place of honoring the position that God has placed him in the home. And when she honors that and respects it and contributes with her abilities and her intelligence and what she has to offer, you're going to find a home is stronger and happier and more blessed by doing it God's way than the way of the world. Because see, the way the world is teaching it, in a sense, it almost sounds better. But saints, it doesn't work better. God's way will bring the best and the strongest and most fulfilling homes and structure to the family unit. Well, thank God. I'm thankful the Lord gave us instruction on these things. So he said, love your husbands, love your children, be keepers at home. You realize that's almost mocked in society today? Well, what do you do for a living? I'm a keeper at home. Oh, so you really don't do anything. All I can say is anyone that says that, come and talk to me. Because that's not the kind of mother I had that didn't do anything, and it's not the kind of wife I have. They're not sitting around, and I haven't said this on Mother's Day for years, so I don't want anyone to miss out. I used to say it at the old chapel. It didn't mean that the wife was sitting around reading a book, eating bonbons all day. And some said, what are bonbons? Well, but do you realize that when someone is a keeper at home, there is work involved. There is sacrifice. There's things that's work for the children, work for the husband, work for the home, work for the congregation, work for the Lord. Why aren't there more people offering their services to do the work of God? Because I'm on a career trajectory. My time is spent here. Why don't children have time to help them with their school projects in our world today? Because I have a job that I'm putting first. Do you recognize this morning that when someone, a wife and a mother, is a keeper, it doesn't mean that it's wrong in every situation. Please, again, there's a balance here. It doesn't mean that it's wrong to work outside of the home. But I want to say you need to be very, very careful especially when you have young children in the home. Young children are a full-time job, and there is honor to give. And our world is frankly not given the honor. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with daycare when necessary, but if at all possible, don't farm out one of the greatest responsibilities that you have as a mother. And that may be it, a little bit of financial sacrifice. But I will just say, as a son that was raised by a mother that was there for us, I will say I am so thankful to have a mother like that. And I believe my children could say the same thing for my wife. And that testimony is repeated here in this congregation. But we have to recognize the value of what the Lord teaches us versus what the world is saying. It doesn't mean that a keeper at home is lazy. You know, if you find a lazy someone at home and say, well, I'm a keeper at home and they're not doing anything, I dare say they're not keeping the home. But you sisters, am I on target there? Is that right? There's a lot of work to be done. And there's a lot of sacrifice. And I will say, and I know we all have our individual circumstances, but I will say a lot of the gospel work that I do, my wife is working sometimes up into the wee hours of the night for the work of God by my side. I value that this morning. If she would have followed a different path, it wouldn't have been there to give to the Lord. So there's great service in your children and in the work of God this morning. And I don't want us to lose sight of that. The world changed its view of the home, and it has changed it. I'm not opposed, and again, balance. I'm for women being valued, educated, protected, loved, cared for. Use the gifts that God gave you. God will give you an opportunity to use and exercise and fulfill the gifts that He has given you in society and for the world. Women were made in God's image as well. And that should be honored and protected. Women should never be devalued. Women should never be treated as servants. They should never be treated as inferior. They should never be abused. I've told that, you know, my children and others growing up, you should never lift your hand to a woman. Never lift it up against her. But we love and we cherish and we care for and we regard. But I want us to know that the world is measuring a woman's value by her employment and income and those things we already mentioned. Whereas when that began to happen, the home began to be viewed as lesser. Being in the home began to be viewed as restrictive and beneath the dignity of a capable woman. Isn't that the world that we live in? How they look at it? Oh, you're just a homekeeper. Just? No. We could go through a long list that my wife could have made a career out of multiple of those things that she's doing. There's nothing less capable about it. And it was in World War II, and I've mentioned it here before, but I want to give just a little bit of history. This began to shift in society around World War II. Because before that, society was, they really recognized the value of a mother and a wife fulfilling a place in the home. But during World War II, there were over 6 million, in this country, over 6 million women went into the workforce during World War II because of the war effort. And I'm not saying all of that was wrong, but the perspective at that time, the perspective of the nation began to shift. Because before that, a woman was acknowledged, the mother in the home was central to society. But after World War II, a woman's value became increasingly tied to her work outside of the home. And then later, feminism began to grow. And what feminism did, it didn't, everything that it did was not wrong or bad. We're all for, the Bible was way before the feminist when it taught teaching a woman with love and dignity and honor and care. Amen? In honoring that, and I'm thankful the world maybe started catching up just a little bit. There should be no one that values and honors a woman more than in God's church, among God's people. But, and they brought some necessary corrections, legal protection for women, the dignity and protection from abuse, and there were things that happened during the feminist movement that actually were profitable and good. When it lined up with what the Bible taught. But it went too far. Because what it did, it went further where they began to see and promote that motherhood was a limitation. Homemaking was a wasted life, and children are obstacles. And that's very contrary to what the Word of God teaches us. So if there's someone say, well, I'm a feminist, I would like to say, hold on just a minute. Hold on just a minute. What do you mean by that? I don't need any man. I can do it myself. All I can say is go back to the Word of God. The Lord gave us structure of interdependence between men and women. He gave a place for mothers to fill that, as Brother Justin said, dads can't fill that place. There's a place that a woman and a mother can do something and fills a place in the life of the child that we're not capable of. And vice versa. The reverse of that is true as well. But women are to be valued and treated like the treasures they are. And I'm preaching against a world this morning that is devaluing the honor of motherhood and the blessings of God that are on that institution. In 1960, this little interesting what happened in the family dynamics. In 1960, 73% of U.S. children lived with two married parents in their first marriage. That was 73%. That was in 1960. By 2014, 46% of children live in a two-parent home with their first marriage. You see, when the home starts breaking down, do you know the children are paying the price? And a couple of extra... I will just say this as a little side note, little teaching here. When a mother is there to care and raise her children, that does come at some economic sacrifice. And sometimes it's not always possible, all right? And we acknowledge that this morning. But I also find that sometimes two-parent incomes, parents end up spending more money than is necessary because no one feels like cooking, so you eat out a lot more, and then you spend a lot more. Y'all notice that to be true? I've known some, you hire a housekeeper, you hire daycare, and by the time you add up the extra that you spend on eating out, the time you spend on all your cleaning, the time you pay for daycare, the time you do all those extra things, it's not always as much as an economic sacrifice is what you might think. So may I just put out that out there as food for thought and consideration. In Japan, in 2024, there were nearly 1 million more deaths than births. And you realize for the last decade in Japan, because see, they're facing a crisis now. Maybe you've read about it in the news. They're facing a crisis because they are literally in the last decade have been selling more adult diapers than baby diapers. And so they don't have a workforce with children because they're not having children. And I noticed, I believe it was in Tokyo, and this was a while back, and I may have my fact wrong, but I didn't go back again. But if my memory serves me right, even in Tokyo, they are trying to have less days of work in the government to try to encourage families to start having children again. I just want to bring these things out to point us back to the Word of God today, that children are a blessing from God. Society needs it, and society needs mothers who are putting their families first, above career, above other things that God can bless. And how can we close today without mentioning that a godly mother has great influence on her children? 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul was talking about Timothy, and he said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in my grandmother Lois and my mother Eunice." There was a young minister, Timothy, and Paul was specifically mentioning, "I see a faith that was in you that I can trace it." And he didn't mention his dad and grandpa. Now, there's an important part for dads and grandpas, but here he specifically mentioned the faith that was in your mother, in the faith that was in your grandmother. How can we devalue that today? You sisters, those of you that have children, especially now in the home, young children, you are doing God's work. And I want to encourage you to do it well. I want to encourage you to not be ever allow the pressures of society to cause you to feel devalued or that you're wasting your life. Because look what you could be doing if you weren't tied to your children. That is one of the greatest positions on the face of the earth. And your children and your parents, and we do this morning, we rise up and we call you blessed. And I want to thank all of you that have made sacrifices to place your family before your personal ambitions. And you are pictures. You godly women here this morning are a testament that of service, and that there are still women that are not selfish because you are giving the best that you have. And that is what God has ordained and called for this morning. I trust the Lord will bless all of you this morning. Stay-at-home mothers are blessed. That's not staying at home being lazy. That was even talking about a woman that went out and bought a field, wasn't it? That wasn't talking about someone sitting there again, going back to bonbons, and maybe I could give up the books now and say sitting on there playing Candy Crush all day. I don't know if people do that, but I just got a new phone and it was installed with it. I tried it once and deleted it. I didn't care for that. But anyway, the point I'm making is that there is much work to be done. So mothers, thank you all so much. Sisters in the congregation, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for loving your children, frankly, sometimes when they were acting unlovable. Thank you for believing in us as your children. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for being there in the wee hours of the night. Thank you, when I'm in my generation, thank you, Mom, for being there when we came home from school. And thank you, mothers that are there now. You are teaching. Many of you are teaching your children at home. May God bless you. May He energize you. May He give you courage. The scripture says, be not weary in what? In well-doing. So sisters, you are tired. There will be emotions when you feel like I'm not doing anything right. It's okay. Just keep on plugging along. And be not weary in well-doing, for in filling the place of a mother and a wife, you are doing God's work. So God bless you all. Thank you. A happy Mother's Day to each one of you. We love you, and I trust God will bless you this day.